Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Progressive Britain podcast for the second and final American Special Edition. Last weekend, just before the Harris and Pence debate, I got a chance to have a quick chat with Tiara Polite, the digital organiser for Our Future Florida. We spoke about the presidential and vice presidential debates, why this year is different to 2016, and what needs to happen in Florida. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Tiara. Thanks so much for coming on the Progressive Britain podcast.
Hi, Frankie. I'm so excited to be here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And just for our listeners' sake, so me and Tiara lived together for about 6 months in the middle of Finland in a massive forest. So I was quite thankful to do this interview because I think it's going to be the one which I need the least amount of research to do because I know Tiara pretty well, I'd say.
Yes, we studied in Finland in Jyväskylä, and me, an American who's never been out the country, I was thrown into like the North Pole. Like when I got off that plane, I was just like, why is it like -5 degrees Celsius? I didn't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah, I think you being from New York, me being from London, I think we had pretty big culture shocks coming to Finland. And so I was glad we had each other as roomies to sort of overcome those problems. And we also sort of realized weirdly that we've both done similar campaigning jobs in the UK and the US. Which is really cool. So you've worked previously for Elizabeth Warren and your other campaigning roles. Do you want to just tell us a bit about that?
So back in 2016 was my first volunteer experience on a campaign. I volunteered for Bernie Sanders from Vermont. And then after he dropped out the race, I backed Hillary Clinton. And then unfortunately, she lost back in 2016. So for this election cycle, I worked with Elizabeth Warren, and unfortunately, she dropped out the campaign. So then I worked for Elizabeth Warren in North Carolina, which is a swing state, so is in a very important state. And then when she dropped out, I graduated college in North Carolina, so then I moved to Florida, and then I worked for the Joe Biden campaign down here in Florida. But I decided to leave the Joe Biden campaign, and now I'm with For Our Future Florida because they have a permanent presence. So even after the election, they still push the progressive agenda, which I love. I hate the whole like just coming to an area, organizing during the election cycle, and then just leaving. Like I just feel like I'm so passionate about these issues and we need a permanent presence. So I did For Our Future Florida now, but obviously I'm still supporting Joe Biden and Harris because they are the ones pushing the progressive agenda, but I'm a digital organizer because there's a pandemic going on and Florida is one of the deadliest states when it comes to COVID. So we're trying to just stay remote. So, which is perfect for me because I live on social media and I'm an digital organizer for the entire state of Florida. So there's a lot on my hands, but I'm definitely ready for it. Florida is the most important state in this election. I mean, margins are usually less than 5% in every race. Like Andrew Gillum like lost by 0.4% as for governor. So Florida is like they win by just thousands of votes. So it's really important to get people out there to vote. because there's more registered to Democrats. It's just getting those registered Democrats to vote. So it's just, I'm mobilizing people on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. I'm all over that, bugging people. So yes, that's what I'm doing right now.
No, that's so cool. And yeah, you've been on so many different campaigns. So it's good, I guess, to have that comparison, to be able to draw out the best bits from each campaign and bring them together to try and win this election and get rid of Trump. And I think it's really interesting as well, you mentioned about being there, being present throughout the whole election cycle, not just in election times, but, you know, in between elections as well, and being really present in Florida and supporting different progressive causes. I think that's a really cool thing that our future Florida is doing now. How do you find sort of transitioning between candidates? So you're working for Warren, and how does that sort of compare to Biden's campaign? And do you find that difficult? Do you feel like your loyalty still line with Warren?
It was interesting because first Warren, like, we were able to have face to face interactions with people. We were able to knock on doors and stuff like that. And it was just great because we just had like a different momentum because we're like, oh my God, we're that much closer to having the first woman president in the United States. So like that was really exciting for us. But then like, unfortunately, she dropped out the race and then like the pandemic happened. So we're like, okay, so how is this election even going to happen? Like, this is so unique to have a presidential election during a global pandemic. And it's like, now we're not doing face-to-face interactions. So it was just so weird to, it's like, it's hard to stay motivated because you're not face-to-face with people. Like, it's such a different feeling being able to go out on the ground and, you know, meet people face-to-face and knock on doors and stuff. I do have a sort of loyalty to Warren, but like in the Biden campaign, most of us have worked for different candidates back in the primary season. So you have people who worked for Pete Buttigieg and Beto and Bernie. So it's very diverse, but like, it's nice to see that no matter who we supported back then, we're all united for Biden right now, because we do understand that our democracy is at stake. And we've mended like how the previous campaigns worked. Like, even just like how they use their budgeting and stuff, the work culture, like using proper pronouns for people, like we all brought that to this campaign. So it was nice.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point as well about the changing nature of elections. I mean, yes, it's a pandemic, so this election is particularly different, but I think that we are changing to have a more digital focused sort of strategy towards elections, or at least we should be. And I think that was a major thing in the 2016 election that Trump did particularly well in. And similar here in the UK, we had the Brexit campaign where the Leave campaign really monetized on that, on their digital front. And that's possibly what won them the Leave election to leave the European Union. What do you think on that front of digitalizing the campaign, what do you think needs to happen in the Biden campaign between now and November?
Well, digitalizing the campaign has really brought a lot of young people to the political arena, because unfortunately a lot of like boomers are not as tech savvy when it comes to social media. So it gives us like a lot of say that we're like, okay, we were grown up on social media, we know how to use it. I definitely think the Biden campaign needs to do better with ads, but like Biden supporters tended to attract more of the older group. Like most of his supporters were like 40 and up. So now with like young people from like the Bernie, Warren, other candidates, since now we're working under him, we need to do more Spanish outreach. Like we need to do more ads in Spanish, because I know Trump did a great job with that. He has ads in Spanish and he's able to tap into the Cuban demographic by like producing such fear of socialism. Like he's really like taking low blows and using people's vulnerability to his advantage, as per se. Like Biden needs to do better with Spanish outreach, definitely.
That's a really important point. And I think something that, you know, might be an outcome of this pandemic and of this change in elections, but definitely something that needs to be taken forward for future elections for the Democrats. So what do you think are sort of the key messages that Biden's campaign need to get out between now and voting closing November?
Well, Biden definitely needs to use the advantage that, like, he wasn't, I know a lot of people like from Cuba, Venezuela, like they're from these socialist countries. So they're like, anytime they hear the word socialism, they like freak out. But I think Biden needs to tap into that. He was never a far left candidate. He's very moderate. So he needs to use that to his advantage. If he emphasizes that, that's why me and candidates like Bernie and Warren differed. I'm not far left. I'm moderate. So I appeal to both people from the left and right side of the spectrum. He should use that to his advantage. I think that would be the most beneficial way to tap into, because he's losing a lot of Spanish outreach just because of that. Especially Florida. Like, Florida is, he cannot win without Florida. And obviously we know that Florida has the highest Cuban population. I mean, we're the third top state of like with the Hispanic population. So he needs to really do that. He needs to tap into like his main message is like he's the hope candidate. He's the unity candidate. Like, obviously racial tensions in America right now, like we've always had racial tensions, but right now is at an all-time high, especially like with the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. So I definitely think that Biden should tap into that. Like, I'm the hope. Like, if you even see Trump's ads, it's like so negative. Like, it's as if he like puts out this message that if we don't vote for him, like the world is going to fall apart. Like, he's the law and order candidate. But it's like he puts clips of what's happening now. And I'm like, he's like, oh, this would happen in Biden's America. I'm like, but this is happening under your leadership. So I don't understand how his ads are even like believable. But Biden is very hopeful. He's very positive. Like, it's very integrated. He's like, I'm not what's going to lead America into a brighter future. Like, of course, like, but he needs all of us to help him lead America in the right direction, while Trump is like, it's just me, like I'm your Lord and Savior type rhetoric, which is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I think as well, so you mentioned there about the Black Lives Matter protests, and obviously they happen all around the world and in London and across the UK where we are, but to much greater extent in the US. Do you think they will really shape the election and the outcome of the election?
Oh, yes. And especially since like this past debate with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, when the moderator asked for Donald Trump to verbally condemn white supremacy, it was just like he was so reluctant to do it. And then when he finally said something, he said, "Proud Boys stand back and stand by," which was so dangerous, because if anyone knows what Proud Boys are, they're a very far right group. They have tight connections with white supremacist groups like the Ku Klux Klan. And they have like this anti-white guilt agenda, anti-Muslim rhetoric, anti-Semitic. Like, they're very, they're not these fine people. So the fact that he said stand back and stand by with kind of like a smirk and wink on his face, that's very dangerous, especially since like he's shown that like he's not afraid to use brutal force to even peaceful protesters. He uses tear gas, shoots rubber bullets at people. So these like white supremacist groups really feel like they have nothing to lose. Like, oh, we have our president who's by our side. So I definitely think that will mobilize people that, okay, even if I have never voted in my life, this is the guy that I need to vote out. So a lot of people have thought about voting now because of that. I mean, my sister, she's 33, and this is her first presidential election that she will ever vote in. So, and she's like, okay, like, now this has opened my eyes, especially with when RBG passed away. Like, that opened people's eyes. So yeah, all of, like, right now, Biden would have the momentum from infrequent voters.
I hope you're right. And we've seen as well the polls. Biden's way ahead in a lot of states and overall. And do you think that we can really trust the polls? I mean, in the 2016 election, Clinton was ahead of the polls throughout most of the election campaign. So do you think we can take this as a win already, or do you think there's still work to be done?
No, I never trust the polls. Like, whenever I talk to voters who volunteer with me, I always tell them, do not believe the polls. We're going to act like we're losing. Like, we're going to work as if we're losing right now, because people get too lax when they feel too comfortable, because I honestly don't think anyone thought Donald Trump was going to win back in 2016. If I just went out and vote and people like me went out and voted, we would have definitely won back in 2016. I mean, just in Florida alone, the amount of Black voters who did not vote was so detrimental. Like, there's a reason why voter suppression exists, because they know the Black vote is such an important field. Like, it's such an important force. So obviously, the far right party is going to try to suppress our vote as much as they can. I mean, this is even happening now. Like, we vote by mail, even though Donald Trump has voted by mail for elections for years now. He's now saying, oh, vote by mail is not safe. Don't do vote by mail. Or even a lot of early voting locations where people can drop off their mail-in ballot, they've shut down. I mean, they're trying so hard to discourage people from voting, or just making it so difficult for people to stay safe during this election cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty terrifying. I think as well, it's quite hard for people in the UK sometimes to understand all this sort of early voting and mail voting, because it's completely different to what we have in elections. So do you want to maybe explain how that is, how that works in Florida and also in the states more broadly?
Okay, so in Florida specifically, well, I mean, in across 50 states, Election Day is November 3rd. And it's actually, and I always tell people, you can vote November 3rd is the last day to vote. And even if you work that day, it's illegal for your job to not give you an allotted time to go out and vote. But before November 3rd, we have like this early voting period, which is so great for, you know, senior citizens or anyone like that to, or if you're like having a vacation, to just go during early voting time. So early voting in Florida starts October 19th through November 1st. October 19th through November 1st is early voting. So early voting is like from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Only a few locations per area. I always recommend people to do early voting because the lines are shorter. It's to a larger range is not like, oh, we only have this one day to vote. Like, if everyone voted on one day, we would probably never finish voting ever. So definitely recommend people to do early voting. Now with mail-in voting, people get their ballots. We sent them out September 24th. So people are receiving their ballots now. I've received my mail-in ballot, and you just fill it out and you can put it right in your mailbox, or you can wait till early voting begins and bring your ballot to an early polling location, because early voting locations, they have a drop box. It's monitored by workers there, so you don't have to worry about people like taking the box or something, but you can drop your ballot there at the early polling location, or we have a supervisor of elections office in per district that you live in, that you can drop your ballot off there, just to make it easier on the United States Postal Service, because I don't know if UK knows, but the Postal Service here in America is under attack as well by President Trump. He has definitely talked about defunding the Postal Service. So another way to suppress the votes, of course. It's so blatant how he's trying to suppress people's votes, and I'm so surprised that it's even possible or allowed. But so people who mail in their ballots, it's a good tool for people who are college students who may go to school out of state. they can get their ballots to their college location, fill it out, and send it back to their home state, which I definitely recommend for people who are from Florida but go to school in maybe like New York or something. New York is a strong Democratic state, never a swing state. Like, you know that is going to be blue. So I always tell people from Florida who go to states like that for college, request a mail-in ballot because your vote in swing states really do matter. Or if you're in a state like Alabama that you know is going to be red, I'm like, listen, send your ballot back to Florida because we need those votes. So yeah, that's basically how it works. You can mail in your ballot, early voting, and then election day is like the last day. But I'm a procrastinator, but when it comes to voting, that's the one time I do not procrastinate. And this election cycle, I will be voting in person. But I definitely recommend anyone who feels that they're not safe or they just don't want to wait in the lines or anything, because I know the lines are going to be hectic, because even just now, the amount of people who have voted thus far in other states surpasses 2016. So, I mean, which is great, but if you don't want to just sit there for hours to in the voting lines, definitely vote by mail. But I definitely recommend dropping it at the drop box at the early polling location, because especially in Florida, the postal service is kind of shaky.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Mm-hmm. So when, in terms of voter suppression, so how is Trump stopping people from voting through this changes to mail voting?
I mean, even on the debate, like his closing remarks, he spent his closing remarks not to say please vote. He kept on instilling fear in people, like, oh, vote by mail is gonna be it's a fraud, it's fake. I've seen ballots in rivers with they're gonna throw your ballot out and stuff like that. Like, everyone now is just like so freaked out about mail-in voting. So it's like, for those older people or people who are immunocompromised, who really want to vote by mail, are now like questioning it. They're like, oh, should I? And then they're like, but I don't want to vote in person because that's too risky for me. So they end up not voting. And I'm like, this is not how anyone who's presidential should behave. Like, instead of instilling fear in people, you should be hopeful. Like, people should vote the way that best fits them, especially considering Trump has voted by mail for years now. Like, this is nothing new. So I was just like, if it was enough for you to vote by mail, why is it not enough for the American people? I don't understand that. Especially, like, he should, like, allot the postal workers enough time so they can work enough hours so they can get these ballots in on time. Like, and postal workers have expressed their concerns, and unfortunately our president shuts them down and doesn't listen to them. So, like, it's really, I mean, for America to be considered like such a free country, and it to see that, like, we have a leader that kind of sounds like a dictator, it's frightening to see. Especially is so, and it's like, I know a lot of people say, like, don't let politics come between you and your friends and stuff, but it's gotten so bad, like the way he is and the way his supporters act, it's kind of hard not to judge people. Like, Trump has caravans every weekend where his support, like in cities across the country, they host caravans of just like cars driving through neighborhoods with Trump flags and like Blue Lives Matter flags and like signs that say, if you don't like our flag, get the F out our country. Like, it's very obnoxious the way it has become. Like, I've never seen anything like that before in any of the past elections that I've been involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to comparing last campaign, 2016 election to this election, a lot of people, a lot of sort of different demographics didn't turn out for Hillary in 2016. And you mentioned, you know, there's people like your sister who will turn out to vote in this election. Do you think that Biden will be able to get out the vote of those sorts of people who didn't vote in 2016?
I definitely think so, because like, I mean, the amount of ads that are on TV, I mean, the amount of billboards that are in the highways, like the amount of posts that people, like, this has been the most like broadcasted campaign ever. Like, you can't go into Facebook or Twitter or anything to escape this. And the outlandish things that Trump has said, like, I don't think anyone has ever heard of. Like, they've never heard of a president carry themselves the way he does. So, like, for people who never voted, they're like, okay, this is my time to shine. Like, especially, like, a lot of people who have friends who were immigrants, like, now that, like, okay, there's kids in cages, like, that's pulling people out to vote. And I know the Republicans for Biden camp group is on fire right now. Like, there's so many people who are registered Republicans, and they're like, okay, I can't support Trump. Or even past Republican presidents like George Bush has endorsed Joe Biden. John McCain, who went against Obama, he passed away, didn't invite Trump to, like, Trump was not invited to his funeral, but Obama was. And John McCain's wife has endorsed Joe Biden as well. So a lot of, like, big name Republicans are now saying, okay, like, parties should not be treated as sports teams. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, we don't care who represents our party. As long as they're in our party, we're going to support them. Like, no, it should be Americans first. And we're looking out for the best interests of the American people. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is not that candidate. So we've attracted a lot of people from both parties behind Joe Biden. Like, he's really the unity candidate. So I really do feel that he's going to tap into those people who didn't vote into 2016. Even my roommate in college never was registered to vote, and she registered to vote just a few days ago. I was like, you've never, and I was so annoyed when I was her roommate, because I was like, you cannot complain if you do not vote. Like, as a Black woman, like, Roe versus Wade is on the ballot right now. Like, when RBG passed away, like, every woman right now should be like, okay, like, so much is at risk. So when I saw that my roommate registered to vote, she's like, okay, Tiara, like, now I understand your frustration. Now I know I can't sit back. I'm like, exactly. Like, we didn't get these rights as if it was a given. Like, people had to fight to get to where we're at. I mean, we're not at the finish line. We still have a lot to do, but it's just like, people had to fight years to get where we're at. And by November, based on the outcome, that can be ripped away from us. And I think a lot of people understand that now. They're like, okay, wow, we need to get out and vote. I know back in 2016, we expected Hillary Clinton to have the woman vote. But unfortunately, I definitely seen that white women, a lot of white women carried Donald Trump. So clearly it's not like, oh, she's a woman, people are going to vote for her. Like, no, like that wasn't the case back in 2016. And, you know, there's still Women for Trump. Like, that's a big force. I do see that their numbers are going down too. A lot of people, based on this last debate, a lot of women were like, okay, even though I agree with the things that Trump says, the way he carried himself this past debate was very, very mean. So anyone with a little bit of compassion and sympathy, like, now has been turned off by Trump and is considering voting for Biden or not voting at all.
Mm. In terms of the women vote, I want to go on to Kamala Harris in a moment, but just going back to what you were saying about sort of negative campaigning. I mean, a lot of people are fed up of Trump over the past few years of his presidency, and a lot of people will be mobilized to now go out and vote. But do you think that negative campaign is enough to get people out, or do you think it's almost too late for the Democrats and they needed a sort of younger, fresher candidate instead of Biden?
I definitely think Joe Biden's pick for vice president was a smart choice because Kamala is younger. And she is a woman, and she's a woman of color. So I definitely think that was a driving force. I think that was probably the driving force of why he picked her. Because obviously, Joe Biden is a one-term president, most likely. So Kamala being a younger face and a diverse face was definitely a smart choice by him. And I definitely think a lot of women or people of color or immigrants are like, okay, she's a product of immigrant parents, like, they're going to just vote for her just based on her family history.
Do you think that's enough then? Do you think Kamala will balance out all the white male aspect, if you will, of Biden? Do you think it's enough?
I mean, nothing is ever enough. obviously, they need to do what they're doing now. I definitely think right now, Joe Biden was thinking about pulling back on ads. I'm like, no, like, all because, unfortunately, President Trump is in the hospital right now. Do not hold back on your ads. Do not hold back on your campaign trail. Like, President Trump, unfortunately, he knew how serious this pandemic is. He decided to have rallies with people in close proximity. Like, no, like, Joe Biden, do what you've been doing. Wear your mask. Practice social distancing, even if you have to have press conferences virtually. Do that. Like, and I definitely think, like, now people are like, oh wait, like, our president has COVID, like, maybe we should have been taking it seriously. So I definitely think there's another ad that Joe Biden can come out with, like, our president knew how serious this was. He has put all of you guys at risk. Definitely he needs to push that.
Yeah, because I've seen that the Biden has suspended his negative campaign ads, whereas Trump hasn't because of his hospitalization. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you think that Biden should have just gone for it and not suspended any campaigning?
I definitely don't think he should suspend the campaigning. I mean, even if he has to have things virtually, he should do that. But definitely don't suspend the campaign. Like, we need to use this momentum to the end. Like, early voting starts in, like, 2 weeks. So we're really on the home stretch. I mean, Kamala and Pence are having a debate this upcoming week. And, I mean, this probably will be the most broadcasted vice presidential debate ever. I mean, back in 2016, I don't think a lot of people, like, were familiar with who Tim Kaine was. And Mike Pence, like, he's not, like, a wow factor. Like, we know, like, the types of policies he supports and how bad they are. But, like, he's never really talking because Trump has such a big personality. You only focus on him. But now, like, Kamala, like, since she was in the primary race, a lot of people know her. And like, she's our first, potentially first woman vice president. So yeah, I know a lot of people didn't even watch the presidential debate. They're literally just waiting for Kamala on stage. So that's definitely going to be a driving force.
I know a lot of people in the UK stayed up in the middle, because of the time difference, stayed up in the middle of the night to watch the presidential campaigns, and we'll be doing the same on the 7th for the VP debate. What do you think sort of Kamala needs to really show there that night?
I mean, she was a prosecutor, so she definitely needs to bring up Trump's tax returns. I definitely think that will be a driving force. His tax returns, since she was in law, like she knows the criminal justice system on the back of her hand, she should bring up, Trump keeps on saying he's the law and order candidate. This is what the criminal justice system is about. She should bring up how racial injustices happen within the criminal justice system. She needs to bring up how the criminal justice system was not designed to treat people of color equally. Like, the fact that Trump removed racial insensitivity training from the police force, like, I've never seen such a thing. He said, I removed that training because it makes people hate our country. I'm like, no, that's actually not what it does. It makes people aware of how systemic racism exists. But, you know, Kamala needs to bring up all of that. And the thing is, Joe Biden said he needs law and order that's equal and equitable. So it's not that he was hesitant about saying law and order. It's the fact that Trump never addressed that there's racial injustices within our criminal justice system.
Yeah, I think those would be really, really the key things to see on the 7th. And I really hope she pulls through, because I used to watch. Just before we leave you, Tiara, I asked you to think up of an MVP, our most valuable progressive, before we go. Do you want to tell us a bit about who you chose?
So, as you know, that it's Hispanic Heritage Month. So I wanted to bring up Berta Cáceres. She was an environmental indigenous rights activist. She was part of the Lenca indigenous populations of Honduras and grew up loving and respecting the world and its resources. And when the rivers that were spiritually and resourcefully essential to the Lenca people were threatened by corporations and governmental action, she organized a year-long human barricade with protests against the building of the dam. She was successful in this attempt and many others, and she was awarded the Goldman Environmental Prize back in 2015. So I know every day in Hispanic Heritage Month, I kind of like highlight someone. I definitely try to bring out women, because there's a lot of things that women do that we never knew about, just like Hidden Figures. When that movie came out, I was like, I never knew there was a Black woman section in NASA. Like, I would have never known. Like, the fact that the man who landed on the moon was thanks to Black women. Like, wow. So yeah, Bertha was amazing. And especially considering we have a president who doesn't believe in climate change, I think that was an important person to highlight today.
Yeah, she sounds like an amazing woman, and I'm glad you brought up Hispanic Heritage Month, because it's really something that we don't learn about at all in the UK. So hopefully our listeners will be a bit more educated after that today. But Tiara, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great to speak to you, and I really hope that the next month or so the campaign goes well and everything goes smoothly, and obviously Biden wins the election. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Frankie. And this is amazing. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.